samāhitam te hridayam, yatre mam parivatsaran, sattvam brahman ripavadhu, taman asu bhajishyati. Samāhitam has been fixed. Te, your. Hridayam, heart. Yatra, on whom. Iman, for all these. Parivatsaran, years. Sa, she. Tvam, you. Brahman, O Brahmana. Nripavadhu, the princess. Kaman, as you desire. Ashu, very soon. Bhajishyati, will serve. Translation. That princess, O holy sage, will be just the type you have been thinking of in your heart for all these long years. She will soon be yours and will serve you to your heart's content. Purport. The Lord awards all benedictions according to the heart's desire of a devotee. So the Lord informed Kardama Muni, quote, the girl who is coming to be married with you is a princess, the daughter of Emperor Swayambhuva, and so just suitable for your purpose. Only by God's grace can one get a nice wife just as he desires. Similarly, it is only by God's grace that a girl gets a husband suitable to her heart. Thus it is said that if we pray to the Supreme Lord in every transaction of our material existence, everything will be done very nicely and just suitable to our heart's desire. In other words, in all circumstances, we must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and depend completely on his decision. Man proposes, God disposes. The fulfillment of desires, therefore, should be entrusted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the nicest solution. Kardama Muni desired only a wife, but because he was a devotee of the Lord selected a wife for him who was the emperor's daughter, a princess. Thus Kardama Muni got a wife beyond his expectation. If we depend on the choice of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will receive benediction in greater opulence than we desire. It is also significantly noted here that Kardama Muni was a brahmana, whereas Emperor Swayambhuva was a kshatriya. Therefore, intercaste marriage was current even in those days. The system was that a brahmana could marry the daughter of a kshatriya, but a kshatriya should not marry the daughter of a brahmana. We have evidences from the history of the Vedic age that Shukracharya offered his daughter to Maharaj Yayati, but the king had refused to marry the daughter of a brahmana. Only with the special permission of the brahmana could they marry. Intercaste marriage, therefore, was not prohibited in the olden days, many millions of years ago, but there was a regular system of social behavior. We have these very fine points being brought up here. We may deal with them finally or not, but we're dealing with this element that if one has needs, where else is one going to go? Right? We know that keeping material desire, asking for material things from the Lord, that's not good. That's not the best thing. But who else are you going to go to? So in other words, the standards of devotional service, the progress of devotional service, that is known. But it doesn't mean that that's not the progress. Right? Just like we know, okay, with first grade, mathematics, that's not necessarily going to be the topmost position in mathematics. Right? When you go to, in the university, mathematics 101, it's not what they teach you in first grade. Right? You want to make a career in mathematics, other than being a first grade math teacher, then you need to know a little more than that. Right? But does that mean that the child, when they reach 5 years old, 6 years old, they don't go to first grade and learn that math because it's something lower? This is the fine point. That if we allow our simplistic concept of the philosophy to get in the way, or our false ego, this may be our conclusion. That devotional service mixed with material desire is not good, but if that's not good, how did you get in the door of Krishna consciousness? You walked in a pure unalloyed devotee? No? What about at least a pure devotee, right? No. You walked in possibly as a potential neophyte? And of course you walked in as a akama neophyte. No material desire, you're approaching the Lord simply out of spontaneous affection. So if that didn't happen, then what's the possibility you walked in the door as? Someone who was in distress, who needed facility, who was inquisitive, had knowledge, you just wanted to know what is this God business? Or someone who wanted to know God as he is, as a person. Possibly one of these four. So now, is that not sakam kanista, you know, bhakti? So is that the topmost? Is that the elevated? No. But it worked. One is in the door, one progresses, one goes back to Godhead. So we have to be very, very, very careful in the application of devotional service, that we can acknowledge that if you have material desire, there's no other place to go but God. You don't have another alternative. If you want, you can go to the demigods. If you want, you can try to do it on your own with your own little pea brain. Good luck. Right? It didn't work for anybody who was known as great and powerful in the world. Right? What happened to them? Where are they? Right? Where is Caesar? Right? Where is Alexander? Right? Where is Genghis G? Where are they? What happened to them? Right? So our little brain is not necessarily going to make it work. But we're very, of course, very happy with our little brain, right? And now is winter time, you know, the fresh peas are in season, so it's very good, you know, we can, you know, I say, commune with the fresh peas, you know. Hey, I got a brain like that too, yeah. Cool. Like that, you know. Mine's maybe not as fresh as you, okay, you know, like that. Huh? So here we see is that material desire can only be filled by going to the Lord. He's the only one that can fulfill it. Because even if you try another system, where do you get your brains from, right? That's coming from Krishna. Even you go to the demigods, who sanction it? It's coming from Krishna, right? Whatever it is you're interested in, Paramatma sanctions the modes of nature carry it out. So in any case, he's involved, whether you want to acknowledge him being involved or not, right? That's not illusion. Oh, I don't want to bother the Lord, I'll make another arrangement. But he still has to give the approval. So that's illusion. At the same time, on the other side, then saying, yes, it's okay, yes, it's a great standard, you know, it's the topmost, I'm just being practical, I'm just being, you know, straightforward, I'm just being honest, so therefore this is the best platform, and that, and anything else other than this is also just hypocritical. So we can see both of these platforms are totally non-devotional. They have absolutely nothing to do with the reality of devotional service. But they're very popular. You can hear them, you know, in the, you know, the different places of sitting and walking of the devotees, these two philosophies being discussed. But they have nothing to do with the reality that Srimad Bhagavatam is saying. One is our humility, oh, I don't want to bother the Lord. Or the other is, no, you don't bother the Lord, that's nonsense. Or the other is the ego, is that, yes, I'm fine, I'm great, you know, as I am, I'm perfect. So we can see is all of them are tinged with qualities way lower and more non-devotional than the humble position that I have material desire and the only way it's going to be fulfilled is by going to the Lord. That's humble. That's submissive. It's not ideal, but it's real. This is real. There were 1/10,000 at the tip of the hair, and you want to get anything done, you got to go to God. Right? That's the position. So to be able to distinguish between these two and to be able to work with them simultaneously, unfortunately, it takes a thing called intelligence. And even though today it is professed very strongly, we're logical, we're scientific, and this and that, our day-to-day decisions, much of the time, are made on sentiment. Except, of course, economics. Yes, that we're very intelligent about. But if it's not economics, if it's life, it's just sentiment. And unfortunately, the sentiment isn't based on Shastra, isn't based on any tradition. So how do we know it works? Sounds great, right? Like every little kid wants to fly, right? They get on top of the doghouse and flap their arms and hope they don't, you know, break their leg, you know. But what happens? Do they fly? Right? Even, you know, what's his name? Francis of Assisi. Did he fly? Right? No. So it sounds great. It sounds nice. But the reality is, if you want to be happy here, whose place is it? Is it ours? Is it America's? Is it India's? No, it's God's. So without approaching Him, it's not going to work. Therefore, why is this story? Here we have a story of a brahmachari. And it mentions here, you've been thinking of it in your heart all these long years. So that means he's been thinking about marrying a girl and what kind of girl he wants to marry. He's been thinking about it for a long time. Right? And now this guy, then he goes to the Lord and he prays to him that I would like a wife. Sound like a great story? Right? No, but it's right here. Third canto, 22nd, first chapter. It's happening. And why is it happening? This is a book for Paramahamsas. Why would Paramahamsas want to hear about this guy's material desire? Right? So this is reality. The reality is that you have material desire. It's not ideal, but hey, it's there. So now what are you going to do about it? You're going to make up your own arrangement like the demons, right? That's the difference between a demon and a devotee. Demons always, under all circumstances, have their own plan. Devotees means they turn to the Lord. Right? When things are going good, of course, we tend to forget. But when things get rough, then we turn to the Lord. That's the meaning of Asura. Prabhupada said it again and again. Asura means even it gets rough, still we make our own plans. So that's the point. So who else do you go to? But we see is that then there's going to be examples taking it further and further. Different devotees are going to be shown their pastimes, their interaction with the Lord. We get to Prahlad Maharaj, these other different personalities. We'll get to the residents of Dwarka, the residents of Vrindavan. We'll get to Uddhava. All these different personalities will be explained as we progress through the cantos. And as we progress, then we see as these points get finer and finer and higher and higher. But we still have to start at the first grade if you want to get all the way through. That still, that principle remains. It doesn't change. So, in other words, we know that this is my position and this is what is necessary to be done. It may not be the ideal, but it is ideal because it's in connection to Krishna. But ideal's not enough. There's more perfect ideal, most perfect ideal. Right? That the soul recognizes God, that's good, that's perfect. But there's better than that. Right? So the idea is the soul, according to their capacity, situates themselves in Krishna consciousness. But you start from the reality of where you are. So the reason that we say so strongly not to approach the Lord for material need is because we will take it that that's normal and fine and that we can do forever and that's eternally what we're going to do. No, you have to know that that may be where you start, but eventually, like the child, the small child, is it a problem? What would the parents think if he says, no, I'm going to get my own food, the three-year-old? No, I'm taking nothing from the parents. I get my own food. That's not good. I shouldn't be materialistic and ask my parents for food. Right? Would we think it's normal? No. So then, how is it that, how old do you think we are in comparison spiritually to, you know, Krishna and the eternal associates? Right? We're right up there, the nice, mature, you know, right, not buddy-buddy with, you know, hey, Roops, what's going on? You know, what's the buzz today? You know, where are we? You know, like, is it? No. So then, what's the problem? But now, when the child is big and mature, right, then he's just there and completely dependent, or he's providing and helping with the family. He's bringing in facility. He's taking care of things. Then he's very much fully part of that home scene. No? So it's natural. It's a progression. So to say, no, it can only be this or it can only be that, this is a problem. This is the natural kind of fanaticism of this place. It's got to be this, it's got to be that. No, all these things are right, but it has to be applied to the time, place, and circumstance. Really? No. For a society that says that they're the most practical, down-to-earth, time, place, and circumstance, great. But do they ever actually apply it? No, it's this or that. It's black or white. There's no gray. So if there's no gray, where's time, place, and circumstance? How is it working? So very, inconsistent. Another aspect that's there is, as we've built up to here, he's talking about the good qualities of each, how they properly trained, the parents are trained, the individuals are trained, everybody's trained, which is, we see as the Vedic standard. Many will say, this is not, you know, normal, not practical, not real, not this and that. It's interesting that in our life, something that has so much influence on us, our relationship, especially with family, the relationship with the family is going nice. We are happy, right? The interaction between husband and wife is good. Those individuals are happy, right? Between the parents and the child, it's going nicely. They are happy. They're satisfied, right? And then when they're in that mood of satisfaction, do they really care about money, position, this, that? Really, in reality, when they're experiencing the happiness of that family life, do they really care? No. At that moment, no. So it shows the priority. Right? Now, look at this. When it comes to economics, then we will profess that without being highly skilled through many years of study and getting various kinds of degrees and qualifications, then you can't make it in the world. Right? Fair enough, we take that. Okay. But now, if that is less important than our relationship, so how much more important is the training as a human being to experience human life? How much more important? And do we as a society put any importance on that? Think about it. Is there any training, real, actual training? What is a brahmachari? What is a grihastha? Right? What's a husband, a wife? What's a parent? Is there any training? No. You want to get a job? Lots of training. You want to make money? Lots of training. You want a position in society? Lots of training. You want to be a human being, interact with your family and friends? Zip. Zero. What is that? And Prabhupada, right here, Srimad Bhagavatam, the purport is telling how to make these arrangements to be a human. Do we care? No. Oh, it's not practical. All that's practical is the buck. You have the screamos. Everything will go nice. Does it? No. I know a lot of rich people, and I'm talking devotees, who are getting divorced, are divorced, were divorced, will be divorced. Right? So it appears that money doesn't necessarily solve the problem. It surely helps, right? Facility is important in family life. But it doesn't seem to be the glue that holds it together. Right? Why are they getting divorced? Oh, he had no money. Right? You ever hear that one? No. The guy was a dweeb. Right? And we're using nice terms here. That's why it's falling apart. The woman's not qualified. The man's not qualified. None of them know what they're doing. That's why it falls apart. And if it's so important, it'll spin you out. People get divorced. Sometimes they get so spun out, they can't even do their service. So something so powerful, so important, why would there be no consideration, no training? So why would we consider that this stuff doesn't work nowadays? No, all we're saying is, I don't want to work nowadays. I have a defeatist mentality that I am not going to be successful. And so, therefore, I don't want to follow the path of success. Otherwise, why would we avoid it? Why would we avoid it? Another point being given here is that this thing, soon she will be yours and will serve you to your heart's content. So we see the element here of possession and of following. Service means that there's a reciprocation with some element that one is impressed by, right? You serve somebody, let's say you work at a job, you serve there nicely because you get paid. You get paid more nicely, you serve nicer, right? The pay is less, you don't care. Pay is good, you care. So then, this means if the service to your heart's content is going on, that means he is able to satisfy or make her heart content. And because of that, she's reciprocating with this service. Right? Money doesn't come if you do nothing. Therefore, a wife's service to the husband doesn't come if you do nothing. Bottom line. You don't satisfy the wife, you will never be satisfied. That's the mechanics. That's the reality. So we see that the Bhagavatam is dealing with very practical, down-to-earth stuff that may be sitting in the hearts of many sitting in this room. Now, here's our chance. Do we take it up the way the Bhagavatam does? Approach the Lord. Qualify yourself, right? You want a qualified girl, you have to be qualified. You want a qualified boy, you have to be qualified, right? And it mentions here the qualities that we're looking for, right? It's pretty straightforward, you know? The nice things, the father, performance, religious performance, his ability to perform his service, cleanliness, and other good qualities, like that. Right? Suitable, evenly, equally matched. You know, so that brings us to the last point that Prabhupada makes, is that here is that a Brahmin could marry Kshatriya, one down, and that's fine. Two down in nature, not recommended. Right? And, you know, as it goes, that. But the reverse of that is not recommended. Kshatriyas don't marry Brahmins. It doesn't work like that. Rare occasions we see it works, like Yayati and what was the name? No, it's not Damayanti. Sarmishta, Devayani, yeah, because she was the Brahmin. Sarmishta was also Kshatriya. So that means that nature, that works very nicely. But this reverse, that doesn't so much. Therefore, it's not that it couldn't happen. Right? It means the Vedic system is very practical. But it has to be, you know what you're doing, with proper permission, proper situations, then these things might be there. Otherwise, it is God's laws. You can't transgress God's laws and expect things will go great. Krishna made it like this. You know? And being made like this, it won't work if we ignore it. Right? This idea is that, you know, it's Kali Yuga, so God's laws don't exist. But it's kind of funny, because who created Kali Yuga? Right? Somehow or another, it's like this Western religious idea that the devil functions independently and separately from God. But it's not a Vedic concept. It's not Krishna conscious. God's in control of everything, including the devil. So this idea is that it's different, therefore we don't have to follow. No, that's just an excuse to be lazy, that's all. It's just an excuse to be lazy. It's not real, it's not practical, it's not mature. Though we'll present it in that way because of our ego. We don't want to be second rate. Anything goes wrong, it has to be someone else's fault. We cannot take responsibility, right? That is the big disease of this age. Lack of ability to take responsibility. No one wants to say, hey, I messed up. Now I'll get it together. No, I never mess up. Someone else has messed up. Or I messed up because someone else messed up. Okay, I'm a little humble. Like that. So then these are many of the points that were there. So Kardama Muni, he has this material desire. He wants to engage this material desire properly in the Lord's service. That means he has to be qualified. His wife has to be qualified. Then the two of them together can perform their duties in Krishna consciousness and connect their interaction with Krishna. And by that, purify himself and make himself qualified for these higher levels of devotional service that we aspire to. This platform of akama. This platform of spontaneous devotional service. Right? So that's his purpose. Therefore, it's the Lord is appreciating and making the arrangements. Any questions on this? Yes. Okay, so should we just sit on... Well, I mean, it's better to be sitting on our backside than someone else's, right? So the point is nothing gets done without action, right? So in one sense, you could take the prayer as action, but is it seen as action? Right? Is that the activity? That I'm not going to make any material endeavor, I'm only going to pray to the Lord, and whatever he sends, I'll be satisfied with. That system then works. It's called Amrita. It's not recommended because most people can't be satisfied by it. And technically, pure Amrita means you don't even expect anything. You just perform your duties, make no endeavor for your own personal arrangements, and whatever comes is what's there. It's not recommended as a general process like that. It can be used, but those are more the conditions. One has to be satisfied. If Krishna doesn't fulfill your desire, you don't blame him, right? Because maybe desire wasn't ideal. How it's conceived of was not nice. Because it means you want something, it has to be conceived of in the appropriate way. Right? It needs to it needs to actually be practical, that it would work for you and your situation. But the best thing is that you perform your duties, right? So if your duty is to sit on your backside and do nothing, then that's okay, right? If you've taken the vrata of a python, then that's your occupation. But if you haven't, then whatever is your duties, that you should be performing. And through the performance of your duties, then through that, Krishna will fulfill all one's needs. Right? It's not that the duty itself is what is creating your benefit, but it's that endeavor through that activities that is the medium for your benefit. Right? Does that make sense? You give a gift to your friend. It's not the gift that makes it work. It's that mood and that endeavor that pleases them. Right? So in the same way as proper performance of one's duties, like that, that's what pleases the Lord. Then everything comes. So one must be active. Because the point is that, and at the same time is, being active and dependent on the Lord can happen simultaneous. Like that. So that's the recommendation. Is one has that focus. One knows who you are and actually what you need and what field you actually have to work with. then you take that, make your endeavor, but for the result, you depend upon the Lord. Otherwise, if you say, I'm getting a result, that's also foolishness. The focus is not good enough. Right? So when those three are in place, one is always successful. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Anything else? Yes. When should we ask? When? You want to know like a time at, you know, means is this a good time? 8, 29, and 17 seconds. Is this okay? Or what do you mean? You want it to go, but why do you want these material desires to go? You know what I'm saying? If we want them to go because material desire creates pain, which it does, then that's not also devotional service, right? So whether you're attracted to bhukti, you know, material enjoyment, or mukti, both of those are devotionally useless. So you want material desire or you want to get rid of material desire because it's too much trouble. Both of them aren't useful. That this material desire isn't getting in the way of your devotional service or the devotional attitude, right? Because it can't really get in the way of the devotional service because all the senses are engaged in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? So that you want to take prasad, that doesn't get in the way of your serving Krishna, right? It itself is service. But being overly attached to it more than Krishna, being distracted by it so that one's not focusing on Krishna, these are the kind of things that one is trying to remove. That is your motive. That is what is there. No, you want to serve Krishna. You want to please Krishna. Then whatever situation and facilities is suitable for your nature, that's what you engage. Does that make sense? So if that means as a brahmacharya, as a grihastha, vanaprastha, it doesn't matter. It's what's suitable for you at the particular time and place. Right? That then is what you use. But that's more prominent in the mind than your service to Krishna, your attitude of service, that's what you want to remove. Right? In other words, you're removing the material desire, that means the desire. It's not necessarily removing the situation. Right? Devotees praying, you know, this family life is so difficult and so distracting, please get me out of family life. Okay, then he's out of family life. His wife leaves him and everything like that. Is it any better? No. So it's the desire for that. So when the desire is removed, it doesn't matter if he continues in family life or not, because there's no desire that's separate from Krishna. Therefore, he can be involved in family life to remember Krishna or not involved in family life to remember Krishna. So it's the desire. You always have to remember. It's the desire, not the endeavor. You know what I'm saying? Because you're already endeavoring. That should be connected to Krishna. So that you are distracted by it, therefore you're not connecting it. That has to be removed. Right? It's a subtle point. Okay? Yes, last question, yes. Yes. So how do you say? I guess you would say it in it's a positive rhetorical question. Right? Yeah. That is saying is that Krishna in the Bhagavatam is Sukadeva Goswami is recommending that the living entity approach Krishna, whether he has desire, no desire, wants liberation, doesn't, whatever it is, approach Krishna. And if you do that, then everything will be good. So the question is that because Krishna is so expert, if you approach him that, he will still take that situation and bring you to pure devotional service? Yes. That's mentioned in Nectar Devotion. Krishna is so clever that he can do many things at once. And so one of the things is that when he fulfills your desire, he actually does it in such a way he removes it. The point is that result comes from action. So unless you're dealing with the material desire and applying it, how are you going to remove it? Right? Means you can only remove a moving object. Right? There's a nail in the wall. Only if it's moving can you take it out of the wall. So the point is without dealing with that desire, so it's actually dynamically moving, connected to Krishna, it won't be removed. You know, and then once it's removed, then you don't have that as a obstacle to one's devotional service. But it doesn't mean one won't be involved in that. You know what I'm saying? When the desire that is keeping you in the material world for in connection with family life is removed, it doesn't mean that you aren't necessarily going to be performing the duties of family life if it's favorable. Right? If it's not favorable, then you leave. Right? Does that make sense? Means Srila Prabhupada, he doesn't really have any material need to fulfill in this world. He's a married man. It works for the situation he's in. So as long as it's favorable, it's nice. Right? But basically, which is an inverse to most devotees, when his wife started distributing his books, then he decided it was not time to be involved in family life. Right? So then it's because it wasn't favorable anymore. Then he did. But if it was favorable, there's no need to make any adjustments. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. The Pandavas aren't making adjustments, you know, because they're pure devotees. You know, it works. They're all comfortable, the pure devotees. They do their services together, right? And there's some form, medium, and it works nicely. But if that form doesn't work anymore, isn't favorable, then it's changed for one that is. Right? But it's not out of repulsion, out of disgust. It's out of, there's nothing there. Krishna purifies the motives. Yes, well, because the motive is coming through the medium of the desire. The desire is your expression of that motive. That's why the motive is always the most important. Because sometimes a desire may look good, but the motive is bad. Or a desire may look bad, the motive is good. You know, so one has to look at what is the motive. The action and the motive. The desire is simply the inspiration to be involved. Right? It's the, that's. Is that okay? Divorce is popular these days, yes. Yeah, we don't know our own motives because we're not trained to think. Because if you think, then you might have a doubt about what you're supposed to be doing, right? In general, that's there, which is there. If someone's going to think and then stop doing service, that's not good. But problem is if you're going to think and feel that this method of service is not the ideal, and therefore the leadership doesn't want you to think. So it's actually very popular to not think, right? Thinking is important in the Vedic culture. Like in the Western, you go to a doctor and they will tell you, you know, you don't worry about it. You make some suggestions. I think it's this, I think it's that. They will tell you that's not your area, right? Because their point is, I'm the professional, only I know. You're the common man, you can't know, right? But in the Vedic, the doctor goes to great pains to explain to you what lifestyle you're following made you sick and why and how you can change it. In other words, you can become more knowledgeable and progress actually to be more your own doctor. It's a different system because knowledge is the atato brahma jigyasa. That's the foundation of human life. So that means everything else in human life is based on knowledge. So contemplation, introspection is very important, but not to the point where it distracts one. It should be positive. It should be progressive in that you can see that this is my desire. This is actually my desire. So therefore, I have that. I work from that platform now, but I will try to improve it. Right? But if we come to it, oh, that's my desire, and freak out and then can't do devotional service, better you don't think. Right? So that's why then the thinking process has to be seen from a practical or natural or balanced position that it's for moving one forward. And so if you actually know, okay, Kardama here, he has material desire. He wants a family. He wants a particular kind of girl. He wants to be involved in particular activities with this girl. But his motive is that those are my desires. If I do those activities with that girl, in this consciousness, I'll be purified of those. Then I will be able to come to the platform of pure, unalloyed devotional service. So therefore, he's very enthusiastic to get himself qualified by being a good brahmachari and approaching the Lord for fulfillment of his desire. Then, okay, now I can fulfill these needs in such a way they'll be removed so that later in life, I will be able to just take up pure devotional service.
that then means you have a plan. It moves forward. That's progressive. That's the whole idea of having a plan, looking forward, knowing who you are, being positive, being active. All these things are shown here. This is practical application of it. Is that okay? It takes honesty, sincerity, and support. One has to feel that one can have material desire, but one is trying to, one has the training and knowledge how to deal with it, Krishna consciousness, and one has the support of other devotees that you are trying to deal with it. But as soon as it comes up, oh, he has material desire, oh, he approached the Lord, oh, that's nonsense, then who's going to speak, who's going to think, who's going to endeavor? And therefore everyone sits in their little corner and wonders why there's no social, fabric like that. Okay? So we'll end now because we're over the time, but if there's further questions, we'll continue after 5 minutes with questions. Okay? Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.